So we are talking about spiritual power. This idea that we can't do it in our own strength, we need the Spirit. I mean, we need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, for absolutely everything that we go to do. And our key verse of his last few weeks, let's read it again, Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Here's what I want to say. If our battle is spiritual, surely we need a different source of power. If our battle is spiritual, then muscles are not going to do. I mean, these muscles, they ain't going to do anyway. I mean, your words are not going to do. Your intellect's not going to do. If you're going to fight the spiritual, you need spiritual. We have spiritual power because we've got the Holy Spirit. And self-power is no power. And here's a point I just want to make right from the outset. Maybe sometimes when we get saved, we just feel alive in the things of God, and we feel the power of God, and we feel his anointing and his grace and his mercy, and we're alive like you've never felt before. But if we don't harness that in the sense of practice that, stick close to God, get into his presence every day, read the word and believe the word, hide it in your heart, worship, pray, radically obey the things of God. If it doesn't get to obedience and following, then it will wear out. And guess where we'll get to? This is where we'll get to. We'll go from radical to self-management. And sin management is really the key term that I'm thinking about. And we'll say to ourselves, you know what? If I could just not be too bad, like if I could just sort out my sin or not allow it to become too much, then I'll be okay. I want to tell you, to sin manage is not the way of a Christian. Could you imagine if a husband or a wife spent every single day trying hard not to fulfill the temptation of lust or sinful desires or to cheat on their husband or wife? They'd have missed the point. That is not the goal of our lives. The goal of our lives is that we will be so in love with the one that we're in love with. That is the last thing on our mind. If you're so in love with Jesus, you'll follow him wherever he goes. You know when a young guy falls in love with a girl? You look around, he's there. You look around, he's right there. I want to tell you, that's how it should be for us when it comes to the things of God in every single situation. We are always there. We're following after him. We are followers of Jesus, and we're addicted to it. And so today I want to talk about spiritual power and what that looks like. Romans 8:11 says this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Wow. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit lives inside of you. That changes everything. That changes everything. And it's reminding you sometimes, again, you could have £1 million in the bank, but if you forget it's in the bank, then what good is it? You could have the best sports car in the world, but if you don't drive it like a sports car, it might as well be a mini. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you could have an incredible bike, but if you're riding like a push bike, then what's the point of having all that horsepower? What's the point of having all that CC? I want to tell you, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But if you don't recognize it and realize it and begin to utilize it, I mean, I'm making them sound just like a part. I mean, the person of the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's get it right now. If you fail to recognize who you belong to and who you have a side of you and who you have inside of you, it says the word describes the Holy Spirit like an advocate. He's right there side by side with you. Could you imagine a friend that's with you all of the time and you forget that they're there? They might have all the skills in the world. They might be a Mars genius, sans genius, sports star, model. I mean, I'm trying to think of every single extraordinary thing that a person could be. But if you just forget that or don't realize that or stop talking to them or just ignore them, then they might as well not be there. I'm telling you, here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He never leaves you. He's inside of you. And when you begin to remember who he is, it will change every aspect of your life. You see, we are led by the Spirit, the Bible tells us, as the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. We are empowered by the Spirit. We are transformed by the Spirit. We're given new life by the Spirit. We have a new mind, a new language, new gifts, new destiny, new identity, new hope. This is who we are in the Holy Spirit. Can you see why we have to remind ourselves of this? Because if we don't, we'll be like, loser, not good enough. What's the point of me? Never enough. I'm rubbish. No one notices me. I might as well not be here. No talent, no ability, never recognized. It goes on and on and on and on and on. But that is not the case. You have been bought at the highest price if your name is with Jesus, if your life is with him. If you've asked Jesus to take away your sins, then you are a new person with new hope. And we can't fight. This is what I want to say to you. You cannot live this life. You cannot fight this life. You cannot overcome this life. You will not step into all the things that God has for you if you don't know the person of the Holy Spirit. It's just, Bible won't be enough. Worship won't be enough. Prayer will not be enough because we were born for a relationship with the Holy One. We were born with a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. And the one that we have access to is not the Father, and it is not the Son in terms of being here on earth with us. It is the Holy Spirit. Can we pray to the Father? Of course. Can we pray to the Son? Of course. He intercedes on our behalf to the Father already. But can we have access to the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. He wants to be your best friend. And this is the journey we need to remind ourselves of. Because if we don't, we're going to try to fight fire with our little. Instead of getting the Spirit to come and meet the spiritual tasks that we have in front of us. You see, we are called to live in the Spirit. And I want us to think of a few different things of what it would mean to live in the Spirit. Because you're already going, what do you mean live in the Spirit? That's just like so weird. Do you mean like become a monk, move to an island, build a wooden shack or a house out of rubble and live in there with hardly anything? No. I mean, like, if you want to go for that, go on ahead. I am not going to do that. Please, Lord, don't ask me to do that. But that is not what it's about. It's about how do we, on a day-to-day basis, recognize and realize that we're in relationship with God and that the Holy One of Israel, that God himself, that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, and how do I recognize that so I can live my life in a completely different way? That's what we're talking about. Not about trying to struggle to get to church and feeling guilty because you didn't make the prayer meeting because God's going to be there, and you know, and trying to just manage your sin really well and trying to talk right and stop swearing as much and, you know, all those things, they're behavior modification. I don't want it just to be behavior things. I want it to be a life change inside of you. Number one, we got to pray in the Spirit. The Word says we should pray in the Spirit. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, right at the end, after he's given us the armor of God, he turns around in verse 18 and he says this, pray in the Spirit. Wow. We're going to look at this. On all occasions and with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare fearlessly as I should. Paul says, my power is not my words. My power is in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. Our words plus the Holy Spirit, power, transformation, supernatural moving in the things of God. We have to realize who we're praying to. And when we do, we start to pray in the Spirit. It's like praying with them. It's like hearing the Lord's voice. It's like understanding the power of the Spirit that's inside of you. It's knowing who you are and the relationship you've got and who is inside of you. And when we begin to realize that, wow, faith begins to rise. We start to hear his voice. We start to pray together. We start to be blessed together. We need to learn to pray. Maybe that's really the desire of our hearts, to develop a prayer lifestyle, to develop a lifestyle where we're praying in the Spirit. I mean, simply put, God says you can pray your own words. You could even pray to me, but I want you to pray in the Spirit so that you're praying with knowledge and awareness and power that you are being sustained by the living one. You're being sustained by God himself. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, anointing your prayers, anointing your words. You're not praying on your own any longer. You're praying in the Spirit, and he's guiding you and he's leading you. And I'm telling you, it is something far more natural than you realize. But if we forget to connect, if we forget to realize the person that we're connected with, then we can begin to not do it. We can begin to find ourselves in an opposite direction. It can't be just trying to pray. It's I need to learn to pray with God's help. And so we have some practical things. I want to encourage you with this. Prayer course, a lot of our life groups have already done the prayer course. We're going to do that on our Wednesday night one. If you're local on Wednesday nights, it's open for anyone. We would love you to come. We're going to do the prayer course. It starts in 2 weeks' time. Please come to that. If you would like us to do it online, we would love to run it online. We want to get people better equipped with prayer because I think it's not so much about I don't want to pray. It's just I don't know how to pray. And when I do pray, it's over in 30 seconds and I I've prayed for the whole world. Come on, there's deeper that we can go, because to pray in the Spirit means to have a relationship with God, and to pray in the Spirit means that we know God's heart. It becomes this deeper relationship, and in the first week or two of any new relationship, you haven't got much to talk about. But when you get deeper in that relationship, you can talk for hours. You could talk for days. Time flies. So we've got some practical things. Prayer meetings. You need to get to a prayer meeting. If you can come to ours every other week on a Wednesday night, come to it. If you can't, tune in online for it. If you can't be at ours, go somewhere else. You've got to realize that prayer is not just you and God's, but a lot of the times it's you and the body of Christ. There's a place and a time for both, and you need to grow those skills. You need to grow that awareness. I'm telling you, to pray in the Spirit, you need to have all these different things at play. God wants to teach you and equip you. Friends, you get together with friends and say, hey, come on, let's teach each other how to pray. Remember what the disciples said? Lord, teach us how to pray. You're doing something that we're doing, that we're not doing. You're not just babbling and repeating things. It feels like you're being guided by the Spirit. It feels like you understand the heart of God. It feels like your praying is one with God. I'm telling you, as we spend time with God in His presence and we begin to know His heart better and rest in His presence, and I mean, that's more than just 5 minutes a year, that's teaching yourself to be still. I mean, it's hard to be still. Try and be still for 10 minutes and think about nothing, only God. It will be a huge test if you've not practiced that. We have to be obedient and practice and teach ourselves these skills. Otherwise, we'll be taught for lack of attention, because that's what everything in the world right now, videos, 15-second videos, 30-second reels, 2-second clips on YouTube, on Facebook, you know, it's teaching us to have no attention span. We're going to have to fight back against that. And of course, the Word of God, you'll see it over and over and over again. Pray in the Spirit. Number two, walk in the Spirit. Very famous scripture from Galatians 5:16. We're not going to look at it today specifically, but I want to just quote it to your heart. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the desires of the flesh, which would be like drunkenness, sexual desires, immorality, impurity, sinful things. It just goes on and on and on. All of which will keep us out of the kingdom of heaven, because that's not the lifestyle that's going to lead to being followers of Christ. It's going to lead us a different way. So the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit. What on earth does that mean? And I believe it's about walking, or in a sense, it symbolizes living. How do you live in the Spirit? Like, how do you just live in the Spirit every day? Can I just say to us that I think one of the biggest things we've got to remind ourselves is that I'm not going to church, I am the church. I'm not trying to be a Christian, I am a Christian. I'm not trying to go to my work and be one thing there and then something different in the prayer meetings. I'm a spiritual human being made in the image of Christ. I'm a born-again believer, and wherever I go, I'm Him. Like, I'm literally Jesus on earth, because He says I'm going to do far greater things than Him, and I'm His ambassador while I'm here. That's my number one identity and authority everywhere I go. I should never take that off. It is not secular and sacred. It is not the things of God and then my things. It is, how does that interlink into every single thing that we have? Because we are people on fire for God, living in His heart. And so to walk in the Spirit, I think there's two things we need to think about. We need to think about, how do we live like what the Bible says, and how do we live in freedom? How do we do that? And I think practically, we follow, we listen, we change. I want to give you a quick testimony on this. Back in April time, I really injured my knee, ligaments of my knee, and I hurt it a few years before, and I thought it was getting better, and I had some knee support on it, and it felt much better, and started to play some football again, tiny, tiny bit, and I was like, wow, it starts to feel really good. And then we had a match coming up, not overly serious, but every match is serious, come on. And we were playing one of the other churches, our great friends up in Cookstown, Liberty. They beat us. They were way, way better than us. Their team was way better. But as we were playing, we're having a good game, and second half, the guys were like, come on, let's try and get another goal or two. And I pushed it a tiny bit too hard, and no one touched me. I twisted my knee at the same time. And when you've hurt your ligaments, twisting is the thing that kills. And I twisted my knee, and at that moment, every single one, it felt like every ligament in my knee ripped to bits. And it turned out to be the case. So now my knee functions, praise the Lord. But unless a miracle, it needs an operation, because the ligaments are, like, I can't even remember the word they used, but severely ruptured. But it was even worse than that. It was like completely ruptured, never be better again, that sort of idea. But here's the point I'm trying to make. When I hurt my knee, that very moment, Two guys had to lift me off the pitch. I could not put my foot down. I could not put weight on it. I had to get lifted into the car. Everybody had to help me. When I got home, it took me ages to get up the stairs. I didn't want to annoy Nikki because they were already in bed and we were a bit late. And it must have taken about 30 minutes to get up the stairs because it's like stairs with a leg that you cannot put down and the other one that you're overusing. It was so sore. It took me about 40 minutes to get from the back door to my bedroom. The next day, I thought I would wake up after a couple of days, and I thought I'll be right as rains, we say. I'll be back to perfect. I could not. It took me about 2 weeks to even get that foot down. I had damaged it so much. It affected every single thing. I wrote down some of the things it did. I couldn't walk initially. I couldn't play football again. I couldn't do it right now until I get an operation and rehab or healing. It feels like it may never come, but I'm believing it will come in Jesus' name. I couldn't do what I want anymore. I couldn't do it. Like I couldn't jump up in the air too high right now. If I did, I'll buckle my knee. I couldn't put too much pressure on right now. I can't run. I literally cannot run. If I run with a limp right now because I've got cartilage stuck. So I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I had to learn to live differently. New habits, new limits, new ways to live. And I want to say this. How are we doing with the way that God has touched our lives? Because I tell you what, I think when people look at us and they see that what they should see a difference, it's like that Old Testament time when there was a limp. The guy said, he touched my hip and I've walked with a limp. I mean, it should be like that for us. And I almost turn around and I say to myself, can others see your new limp? Can others see your new life? Because it should be that evident. It's like everything has changed about you. I'm not saying you need to injure your knee, but I'm saying that when we come to Christ, it should look so radically different that everybody should know. Everybody should know. It should be as drastic as my limp and my knee. Like that's how the Lord spoke to me. He said it should be as drastic as that. Because to live any other way than radically obedient to the things of God is just to deceive ourselves. The faith that we have, the Jesus that we serve, the Lord that we have, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, he's not one that can turn up one notch. He has to turn up all the notches. It's either all out or nothing. It cannot be a controlled flame. It's like burn or not burn. You know what I'm saying? You can't light up that piece of paper and hope that'll just be a tiny wee bit of burn. No, once it gets a hold of that paper, it burns in seconds. When the Lord lights us up, you cannot control it anymore. And guys, I want to encourage us today, as week wide and we fight these spiritual battles, we can put our armor on and we can pray, but we need to be in the Spirit. We need to pray in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We need to be in the Spirit because to fight the enemy, we need the Spirit's power. Jesus and following Jesus is radical. It just won't work any other way. How has God impacted all the areas of your life? I want to say he needs to impact every single area of your life. Point number three, worship in the Spirit. You can worship in the Spirit. Yeah, this is so important. Jesus talked about worship the whole time. The Father talked about worship. God talks about worship all the time in the Old Testament and all the way through the Word. We come to a worship service. Maybe you call it that. When you come in to sing to God, you might call it worship, but really worship is just the devotion of our hearts. It's really our heart. It's the posture of our heart. It's the desire of our heart. Whatever our heart wants is what we begin to worship. Whatever we worship will cause our hearts to want it. It's just the way things are. John 4:24 says this, God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. What has your heart? You see, Jesus was making a point through John, as John wrote it, and he was basically saying, guys, I need people to worship me with their whole heart. You can't, here's what, I don't even know if you can do worship without your heart. What is it? Just lip service. In fact, the Bible talks about that. And I'm telling you, if we are going to worship in the Spirit, then we got to do it with our whole heart. We got to do it. So who's got your heart? What affects your heart? Where is your heart? Because God wants every part of your life. And we lay down, we surrender, and then we begin to live because he lives in us. I think one of the biggest challenges that we've got today when it comes to being radical disciples of Jesus and radically obedient to the things of God is, can we lay down our dreams and our ideas? Can we surrender them in the hope that we'll still fulfill the dreams and desires and the destinies that we have? possibly, maybe, because God has them bigger and better for us than we can ever possibly imagine or think. And if we would simply surrender on the altar of self in front of Him, we would suddenly realize that at just the right time, He would exalt us and lift us up when we are ready. But if we are going to try to live it all ourselves, and instead of worshiping in the Spirit, we worship ourselves and wonder why the Holy Spirit's not helping us, and trying to build our own worship service and trying to build our own altars, we're going to find ourselves in continuous defeat. We're going to find ourselves fighting against ourselves, because the only way to worship is to worship in Spirit. This is not about songs or singing, and yet that's all part of it. This is worshiping God in every single area of our lives. I'll say it like this: heartfelt submission to God's ways, obedience in every way. I mean, suddenly God cannot be an add-on. He just can't be. And you know that He's not an add-on, but yet don't we do this sometimes? It's like, I just have no time to praise last week. I just have no time to read. I'm just like so busy. Sorry, I couldn't get to church the last few weeks. Just been so busy. Sorry, I couldn't get to prayer time. Sorry, I couldn't like phone you. Oh my goodness, I just couldn't share my faith this last year because I just was a bit like this or that. And we say all these different things as if it's acceptable. And I want to tell you what we're really saying is that God's an add-on and He's an extra and that He's not really the center of my life. But I want to tell you, if we're to go after the spiritual stuff, if we're to live in the Spirit, if we're to walk in the Spirit and worship in the Spirit, then it has to be an all-in, nothing else matters. He's got my whole heart. Amen. And number four, and then we're done, is bind in the Spirit. You know, if I was to bind you up, I would get like a rope or something or cable ties, and it just wouldn't be pretty. Number one, because I couldn't tie good enough knots and you get out and tie me up. Or if I did manage to tie you up, I mean, how horrendous is that? You're like, how do I get out? This is terrible. I am restricted. I am bound up. Get me out of here. But I want to read the Apostle Paul, what he wrote in Acts chapter 20. It's a call to greater. It says this in verse 22, "And see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that the chains and tribulations await me." Wow, this is heavy stuff. "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Wow. Paul is saying, man, I am bound to this mission. I am integrated forevermore to the Spirit. I am bound to the Spirit. I cannot lose Him any longer. I cannot do without Him anymore. I have welded myself in. I have glued myself in. I have locked myself in and I've thrown away the key. There is no way out for me. I am all in every which way. And the Holy Spirit tells me there's going to be trials and tribulations, that I'm going to be beat up and I'm going to come to the end of my life, but it's okay. It is all okay, because none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Notice the secret to finishing your race with joy, that I will not count my life dear to myself. Wow, wow, wow. We mentioned it last week. Mark, our great friend from Ukraine, he's just moved over. You got to pray for him, but pray for his mom and dad, Victor and Svetlana. Victor and Lana, easy to remember. They have chosen to stay, because the church is growing even in the midst of war. And my heart is breaking, knowing that their lives are at risk, and yet their hearts are overjoyed because they are running their race with joy and maybe closer to the finish than they know. But they're saying the same thing as Paul. But none of this matters to us. None of this. "Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry with which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Wow. I want to remind you that Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem, the same Jerusalem that ripped Jesus to bits. Come on. The same one. The same Jerusalem that stoned a good man like Stephen to death. It's a place of painful reminders. Jesus died there. Stephen died there. But the Holy Spirit's calling them back. And I wrote a question that may be a big deal for you today. What if some of the painful reminders in your past are keeping you from going to where you need to go? Paul, you see, wasn't going back in the past to Jerusalem. He was going forward in the future to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem held a lot of pain, a lot of pain. And unless Paul was dead to self and had fully accepted and worked through all that he had lost and given it over to Christ, he would not have been able to go back to Jerusalem because of his past, even though it was his future. And I wonder today how many of us cannot get to the future because we are in the past, but really, sorry, we're in the present, but really, we're living in the past. Because there are painful reminders that we cannot accept, that we cannot move on from, that we cannot get rid of, and we cannot get around. And we've tried to ignore, we try to forget, we've tried to numb. But life keeps calling us back to the same places. And it's not to go backwards, it's to go forward. Paul was not going back to Jerusalem, he was going forward to Jerusalem. But if he hadn't dealt with the past, he could never have went back. I really want to encourage you today. God needs you to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, rejoice in the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, and be bound in the Spirit. Because if we are not, then ourselves are going to stop us from the plans and purposes that God has for us. And so maybe today what you need to do is literally lay your life down. Lay your life down and say, God, take my life afresh. Take my life afresh because it is far too important to me. Paul's response to all of this was, but none of these things matter. None of these things move me anymore. None of these things count any longer. I remember Jesus being in Jerusalem, but I also know what victory he won. I remember that Stephen died in Jerusalem, but I can see what the Lord did with me. I remember the past, but I know of the future, and I know of the testimonies of God, and I know that God always turns bad into good if we can trust him. I know that the Lord will turn all things around, so I'm not walking around defeated. I'm walking around in victory. And so wherever he calls me to go, I go forward because I don't count my life dear any longer. I want to finish my race with joy. If we continue to live in the Spirit, it will become less about me and more about him. Guys, I tell you, we got to know this. We're not about having a really happy season and then going to a difficult one and then just getting the sin management. We're not about having the real amazing times with God, but then when it really comes down to it on a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's like we don't even know where God is because he's the last person we're looking for. We're just trying to do it too much alone. We are people that were born in the Spirit, for the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, overcome by the Spirit. I tell us this, we are more bound to the Spirit than we know. It's just about realizing it and beginning to live like that. Paul was ready for anything. He had prepared himself. I want to encourage us today, maybe this is simply about preparation. Maybe this is simply about saying, I need to dedicate some more time to God. This is not about me just trying to regurgitate more scripture. This is not about me just trying to get to more worship times. All of those things are really, really important. This is about me really connecting with the things of God. This is about me really starting to seek out the things of God and practice his presence and get into his presence and be around the right people and feeding my soul with the right things, because what goes in must come out. And the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and he's right there, and he's right here, and he wants to overflow you. And so maybe today you need to be filled with the Spirit. Maybe today you need to be bound in the Spirit. Maybe today you need to die to self. Maybe today the Lord is convicting you, and you're going, oh my goodness, all I was doing was managing my sin, but I realized there's so much more for me. See, Paul, his only desire was to stay in God's will and to let God lead his life. What would it look like if that was our heart's desire? My race is not to glorify myself. My life, it's not about glorifying myself. And yet I know how subtle that can be. I know how easy it can be to get in the way. My life is to glorify the Son because he glorified me on the cross. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just melt every heart that needs to be melted, encourage every heart that needs to be encouraged. Lord, I pray right now for anybody who's far from you, anybody who's lost, confused. The Bible says, call on the name of Jesus and you'll be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. And right now, wherever you are, why don't you say, Jesus, I need you. And right now, he will come. And he will come and make home in your heart. And his spirit will come and dwell within you. And you'll begin this journey of transformation, of following after the things of God. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would come and awaken some hearts. Awaken them right now and bring forgiveness and bring transformation and bring healing in Jesus' mighty name. And so, Lord, I pray for as Christians, Lord, that we would recognize your spirit, that Holy Spirit, you would come and remind us of what we read right at the beginning, that the same spirit, Romans 10, same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, he lives inside of me. That changes everything. New mind, new words, new language, new hope, new life, new everything. Holy Spirit, come and fill every one of our hearts. Holy Spirit, come and take over every area of our lives. We are no longer ourselves. We are born again in you, and you have the reign of our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray you would come. Meet us wherever we are. Transform us, change us, lead us, guide us. Do all that you need to do. Holy Spirit, I pray you would come and help us. And I pray, Jesus, that you would come and reign supreme in every one of our hearts. Lord, I just thank you for all you're doing today. Bless our families, bless our homes, and bring transformation in every single area. In Jesus' name, amen.